Hey witches, it's Jordan here with a cold open. Just to let you know that we did have a little bit of a glitch while we were recording this episode, and it being around Christmas, we were not able to re-record, so you might hear a few glitches, especially at the beginning of the podcast, but it does get better, and we do still think it's an amazing episode, so we are uploading it. So we apologize, and we hope that you will bear with us as we learn and continue to grow as we record our podcast. Thanks so much. Enjoy.
Welcome to Witches Brew. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Emma. And we are the hosts of this mystic pod.
Welcome back to week three.
We're at week three already. We are just moving
on. Can't believe it. I mean, I can because I knew it was totally meant to be, but I'm just still so happy that we're doing this that we're here.
I'm very happy.
We're golden.
But how are you doing, girl? How have you been?
I'm so good. This past week has been so fun just posting about our last week's episode and tarot. Yeah. I've been doing a lot of tarot readings.
Yes.
What about you? How was your week?
Pretty good. I feel like these weeks go by so fast. I don't know about you, but they fly by.
They've been going insanely fast, and usually they go really fast for me because I am a procrastinator when it comes to shopping. So like usually they go too fast because I have none of my Christmas shopping done, but this year I was really worried about COVID, and the mall, I live right by the Fox River Mall, has been literally packed every single day. Like, guys, it's a pandemic, so
I believe
all my shopping early.
I know, it's that's not fun to try to
It's still, Christmas is literally right around the corner, and I don't know how it happened.
I know, I definitely don't feel, in the Christmas spirit. I was talking to my mom, and I said, I think when I go home to my parents' house, I think I might start feeling it, just being around my parents, everything, because it's just going to be the four of us, my sister, my parents this year. But right now I just don't really feel it. It's like a weird
season. I left our Halloween decorations up until the first week of December because I didn't feel honestly, I had bats all over my walls.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm super into Christmas, not because of religious or anything. I just love celebrating things. Mm-hmm. I love decorating. So I get into every holiday. But this year has just felt so I don't know. It just doesn't feel real. But we put up a little Charlie Brown Christmas tree that we got from Fleet Farm, and it's leaning over and half dead. And
that's so cute.
I did end up decorating, but I actually have really cute, even if you don't feel like you're in the holiday spirit, I think you should decorate because I did put this up in my room, and for the listeners.
Oh, that's really cute. It's a garland.
It's just a really simple, it's a garland with lights in it, and it's in my room, and it makes me feel so happy. So just having something little like that,
The lights too.
Decorated just a little bit.
The lights just make it really warm, and just adding the little accents, and it doesn't have to be crazy, but just a little bit of decorations help and kind of spirits up. I have my Christmas tree. I can kind of see.
Yes, I see it behind you.
We have two.
Cute.
My sister and I both have one, so we have one in our living room, one in the dining room. So it kind of adds a little bit to each room, which is
we're really sad because this is the first year we haven't been able to sneak a real tree into our apartment.
That's sad.
Because usually apartments don't let you, but every year we've been able to sneak it in.
Yeah.
And this year our apartment manager lives on site, and we really like this apartment, so we were it doesn't.
Don't want to risk
it. It's not worth getting in trouble for.
Well, despite all the kind of craziness and weird sort of holiday season, there is some brightness that
happening.
And there's a little update in our Witches Brew fam. If you want to kind of make a little announcement here.
Well, after 9 years of being with my high school sweetheart, I am officially engaged.
Woo! Girl, oh my gosh. When you Snapchatted me, we talked about this before. That
I'm had so a happy.
You had a feeling it was going to happen, and then you Snapchatted me later, and I was like, yes, I knew it.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't as much of a surprise as for some people, because obviously, like, we've been dating since we were freshmen in high school. We've talked about it a million times. I picked out my own ring because I wanted a vintage ring, and there's no way he would have been able to, like, I'm very particular about my rings, and I knew exactly what I wanted, and I have a very
gorgeous ring.
So I picked it out, but I didn't know when he was going to do it, and he proposed on our anniversary. He proposed during Brad's proposal during Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, I love that. Well, congratulations. Yes. I am so happy for you and can't wait for this wedding that's going to happen at some point when things are more
normal. Yes. It was honestly, I told him, I'm like, oh my God, we're the people that got engaged in 2020. Like, this is the awful year. And he's like, no, now it's a good year. Like, we ended the year on a good note. And that's how I feel like a lot of people can see everything seems to be looking up for 2021. I don't want to go ahead and
true.
Say that because
that's true.
Who knows
true.
Anymore? But things are looking
we
up.
We are. It's something,
right now.
Something to have and just, you know, a little happy moment to keep with you. In these dark times.
Yes.
Exactly. Yay, very exciting. Very
exactly.
Exciting. So, I mean, I think we have a very jam-packed agenda for this episode. So we kind of want to maybe jump in just so we can get to as much as we can.
Yes. If you missed it or you didn't hear last week's episode, we did announce that this week we are going to be talking about dreams.
This crazy, mystical world of dreams. Very strange and exciting.
Yeah, there's so many avenues that we could have gone down to research. So like last episode, this is just scratching just the tiny little surface of dreams and the mystic, but we had so much fun researching. I added sections that I wasn't planning on covering because I just had so much fun researching. So I'm very excited. Do you want to just jump right in, Emma?
Yeah, and I actually have my, in spirit of the episode, I have my little dream book here. I got
yay!
A while ago. A dream
oh my God, and it has
book.
A dream catcher on it. How apt.
And then I also, not that I'm going to share anything, I mean, I can, but I have my dream journal where I wrote some of my past dreams in it. But they're weird because it's all from this year. I started this year. So there's some weird stuff in here.
Oh, I have some written down that I can share, but it's super funny because I'll get into it later. But yeah, my stuff is very weird.
So if we have time, we'll share some of our own. But let's just get to it and start this dream adventure.
Cool. Well, I have my research pulled up here.
So what are we starting with?
We just wanted to start. I think we should just start with dream interpretation.
Sure.
Because I have a little write-up of kind of like the history of dream interpretation. And then I know you kind of researched the most popular like themes that people experience in dreams.
Yep. So the popular themes and the interpretations that they bring. So let's do this.
So I guess I'll just start off. Obviously, as we know, dreams have been around for as long as people have been around and for longer than that because our animals dream too. It's something that living organisms do. And for as long as dreams have been around, humans have been intrigued by them. In ancient times, the Babylonians and Egyptians believed that dreams were prophetic and held heavenly meaning. Aristotle interpreted dreams as psychological phenomena and viewed them as the life of one's soul.
Ooh,
asleep,
I love that.
Love
that's
that
really
explanation.
Interesting.
Yeah, your soul is kind of going off and doing its thing when you're sleeping.
It's an extension of yourself. I love that.
Yes, exactly. In the 19th century, we get to the first scientifically based dream research where I didn't really get to go that deep into what the actual research was. But it was really when Freud published The Interpretation of Dreams in 1900 that dream analysis was widely developed. So people were very interested in dreams and the study of it and everything like that for forever. But it wasn't until Freud really published that it became something that like scientists could really get into as well. And his was the first established theory that incorporated dreams within the context of helping patients understand their own mental own mental state, not mental hate.
Mental hate.
Jung adapted Freud's theory, because if you know anything about psychology, Sigmund Freud was a little bit of a whack job, and a lot of the things he thought like related to like sexual repression and things like that. So Jung adapted Freud. Yes, yeah, I love Freud. Jung adapted Freud's theory, proposing that dreams didn't signify repressed unconscious drives, but represented expressions of creativity, and that they were aimed at resolution. So basically, dreams are kind of like our subconscious trying to work our problems and our creativity out. Mm-hmm. And since then, other therapy models like Gestalt therapy, art therapy, and cognitive behavioral therapy have been used or have used dream analysis in one way or another. So while scientific dream interpretation has kind of dwindled in modern times, it's not as popular as it used to be. There are still a lot of psychoanalysts who professionally analyze dreams. And much more than that, yes, there are many, many witchy and mystic beliefs behind our dreams, their meanings, and to quote Billie Eilish, where we go when we dream. And before we get into all of those mystic parts of dreaming, Emma is going to, like we said before, talk about some of the most common and well-known symbols in dreams and mm-hmm. what they are thought to mean. So,
yes. Well, there are definitely a lot. When I was researching, I just picked some of the more kind of common ones that I thought most people would have experienced or know people that experienced. I guess to start off, like on a more general note, dream interpretation is not straightforward at all. It's very just kind of unexplained. And as Jordan said, there have been many scientists, psychologists who study dreams and try to decipher their meanings and why we have them. Mm-hmm. But despite that, they continue to be sort of unsolved mysteries in their own right. So
it's almost like tarot, yeah, where if you're going to be interpreting a dream, you have to know the person and trust your own intuition, because one thing isn't going to mean the same thing for another person.
Yeah, it's all about the individual. And something that I've actually found this in this little line from the book that I talked about before. But a dream is not a mini movie; it is a link to your life. Which that's that to me.
I love
because
that.
Because it is. It definitely isn't, like I said, an extension of yourself. And the emotions are heightened within your dreams. They can link to something that's apparent in your life, something that you may or may not know or have accepted. And it's something that you're trying to work through. So I guess there's no scientific consensus on the true meaning, but it's all up to the individual and how they can kind of relate it to things going on. And it's interesting what comes about when you're sleeping and what you can work through.
I've always been so interested in dreams, because for me, I, and probably for you too, Emma, we're both writers and creatives, and I always get frustrated because my dreams are more creative and wild and crazy and interesting than anything I've ever written. Like, where is all that creativity when I'm awake?
I know. I that's why I wanted to start my dream journal. I like made it a point because I kept telling myself I was going to, and I kept forgetting. But I finally decided to make this dream journal because a lot of the ideas and weird things that happen are definitely inspiration for stuff to use in our creative work.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I guess I will dive right into the different popular themes. So one of them is falling. And that is typically interpreted as a red flag from your subconscious. This dream is common in people who are having a major life problem with work, relationships, or elsewhere. It could mean that you're feeling insecure, unstable, and anxious, overwhelmed, or out of control, which is interesting. And then I found that if someone else is falling in a dream, so if it's not you, it could mean that you're concerned about that person or just about their life in general and or that they're leaving you, or that they're leaving you emotionally or physically.
Okay, so it's kind of like your brain is afraid of that, so it's showing you that in your dream.
Yeah, and a typical occurrence in this type of dream is a hypnic jerks. I don't know if I'm saying
I've gotten those.
Yeah. Me too. I've so many times, like sudden involuntary muscle contractions.
That like bring you right out of your dream, right?
Bring you right out of your dream, yeah. So it's like I'm typically like in the falling dreams, like you're falling and then usually before you even would hit the ground or anything, that would happen. Like you just jerk awake.
Right.
Which I've experienced a lot.
I feel like. Yeah.
But I definitely have.
Have you noticed it during, like, certain parts of your life, or did you not really, like...
No, I guess it just kind of has been spread out from all ages. There hasn't been a specific time where it's been more intense than others.
But I don't typically have falling dreams, but I do have one reoccurring dream that I've had since I was little where there's an escalator in front of me, and as soon as I put my foot on it, I, like, jerk myself awake. It's very strange.
That is weird. But
that's – yeah, and that feels extremely symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the only time I've ever experienced, like, a hypnic jerk before in a dream.
They're very common. Okay, so another one that I picked out was teeth falling out, which I found a lot of different approaches to this one. And one thing that I found that was that teeth are viewed as a symbol of power and confidence. So the dream is supposedly a sign that something has happened in the dreamer's life that has caused him or her to lose that confidence. Yeah, which is interesting.
I didn't know that at all.
Neither did I. And also that teeth are sometimes considered bad omens, and they can represent broken relationships, which is another thing I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting to see how this all pieces together, because I can definitely see that metaphor.
I always heard that if you have teeth, like if you have a dream of your teeth falling out, it just means you're stressed out. I didn't know any of this other stuff.
I know. There's so much. And, I mean, I found a few positive interpretations of teeth falling out, which can be a major change in your life, rebirth, or personal growth. And the negative would be, like I kind of said before, lack of self-esteem, also concerns with self-image, and making costly compromises and regret. So that one's pretty heavy. I mean, it's packed with a lot of different ways you can look at it. But
basically, pay attention if your teeth are falling out in your dreams, because you might need to address something.
You might have some other major problems in your life that you have to work through or consider. Yeah. But this is kind of a funny, not funny, but Freud interpretation of teeth falling out, which is obviously sexual repression and anxiety about a sexual partner, and also can be a symbol of castration, which I thought was kind of scary. That's what Freud's
that's
saying.
Interesting. Was that a common problem back then?
I guess that's, you know, Freud, good old Freud.
I wonder if that just means someone is worried about losing their masculinity.
I think for the bigger picture, it definitely. I can see that.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I'm excited about your next topic. I'm looking at your document, and I'm like, get to
I
this
see
on.
You creeping. I saw the screen was, like, the pink, like, mark where it said Jordan. It was active.
Yeah.
You're creeping.
I'm stalking you as you read.
Okay, dying, which is another pretty intense one. A major life transition is one interpretation. This dream reveals the wish to terminate something in your life, a relationship, job, career, or even the past, which is kind of ominous, but,
I mean, it's almost like the death card in tarot, though, where it's not technically a negative card. It just means that you're ready to let go of something in your life and move on.
I know. I thought the same thing when I was reading. I was like, I could see why a lot of people would approach like a tarot or with dreams, how you just die and you just think, oh my God, it's bad. But no, it actually isn't. It's pretty, you know, uplifting, because you're trying to move past something and just kind of have a rebirth for yourself.
Right.
Which, you know, the dream is not necessarily a nightmare, which a lot of people would consider that. But rather it's a dream meant to encourage people to embark on new endeavors and just have a fresh start in life, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, I will definitely approach dying dreams a little differently if I ever have one again. So... Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Your subconscious is just trying to tell you you're ready to move on.
Yeah, you're ready to move on. You're putting your own needs ahead, because maybe you put them on the back burner before. So you're trying to put those more on the forefront, which is another example of some self-care. It's always good to, you know, think of others, but to think of yourself too, because we all need some self-care and to keep thinking about uplifting ourselves.
Now, what about other people dying? Because I've had that dream, and I know you've had that dream too.
I have.
We both talked about, we've had very, very, like, real feeling dreams of, like, our loved ones dying. And those are my worst dreams.
They're very scary. Well, I kind of found a little bit about pets dying, and they also tied that into being the same about if friends or family are dying. So,
okay,
you have dreams about pets dying. It could be a concern about the current state of the pet's health or fear of losing the comfort and security and companionship, which is what pets symbolize to a lot of people.
Oh.
So you could be kind of fearing those types of things rather than actually the pet dying. It's more of like what they symbolize to you.
Okay.
And that would be going away if, you know, that they went away.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the same with the dreams about friends and family members, because it relates to what the person represents to you, not necessarily having anything to do with the person at all.
Oh.
Which is interesting as
wow,
well.
Wow, that's really yeah. interesting.
So it kind of takes a more deep, like, it kind of takes a more deep approach because it's more of, like, what they represent and wow. how, like, they are in your life.
Okay, so if I've had, like, I've had a dream where, and maybe this is admitting too much about myself, but whatever. I've had a dream where both my boyfriend and my dad died at the same time. And I always thought that that just meant I was wow. really afraid of losing them, which is true.
Yeah.
But it could totally be, like, in when you talk about, like, the symbolization of it, instead of just being, mm-hmm. oh, I'm worried about losing my dad and boyfriend, it could be, like, I'm worried about losing, like, that male presence in my life, or, like, that, like, security, I guess, that comes from it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I never thought about it that way.
I know.
That's
it very is. Cool. It is. Because I know, like, I had a dream the same night that you had your dream about your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Was my dream about my best friend, Josh. I literally had a dream about him dying as well, the same night that Jordan did. And it was very strange. There was a glass coffin. It was a Snow White situation. It was a Snow White situation. And I remember waking up and texting him right away. I just wanted to know if he was okay. And, you know, getting really scared when
yeah.
I wasn't hearing from him. But, you know, we were in college. So, like, I think he was in class or something. Like, it was something like that. But, you know, just in the moment, of course, I'm just like, wow, I'm really scared. But, and as soon as I saw him, I, like, felt this sort of, like, this crazy relief. Like, oh, my God, it's not true. And
that's true. Yeah. I think sometimes because I've had multiple dreams, and that's something I struggle with. I'm mm-hmm. pretty anxious about people dying, but
yeah,
I've had multiple dreams where my boyfriend has died, and I wake up, or in college even, I think my freshman year of college, I had a dream that my dad and my mom died, and I think it's because I miss them, but it gives you, like, a renewed appreciation when you wake up of, like, mm-hmm. oh my God, thank God that yeah. wasn't real. Thank God they're alive. Because I feel
definitely.
Like, you, I mean, obviously we all take everyone for granted because mm-hmm. you think you're going to have all this time, and it definitely wakes you up a little bit to be like, hey, you need to appreciate these people in your life.
Yeah. You really take time to think about what they mean to you and, you know, just like how long they've been in your life and everything you've experienced. But it just, like when yeah. you wake up from a dream, especially the dying dreams, there's like this little moment, this little period of time where you still feel like you're in it in the dream. So it's like that little chunk of time is so right. weird because you're kind of transitioning from the dream world
awful.
To reality.
I did scare Andy at one point and call him like crying, and he's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "I thought you were dead," and
that's scary.
And he's like, "You're a crazy person."
But yeah, so another, I just have a few more of these. One yeah. of the other ones I found was being chased, which is, these all, just on the face value,
yeah.
these all just are very scary and intense, but there's just, it's just interesting because there's more to it, like, than face value. Like, what I haven't even know a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So being chased, despite the, like, the nightmarish feel to the dream, it can be a positive sign. Just like, you know, it's kind of a pattern with the other dreams.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So this type of dream is supposed to encourage the dreamer to finally face a problem that's hanging over their head. Which I thought was, I could definitely, all these metaphors are really coming, like, someone, you're kind of being chased by something, but it's kind of, you know, having this dream tells you, you know, it's time to, you know, face that problem, not let it chase you around, you know, so to speak.
Right. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Other interpretations could be worried about an upcoming event, wishing to avoid something, overwhelmed with responsibilities. So it's all, you know, kind of personified in that person that's chasing you.
Right.
And what I found was interesting that more often these dreams happen in women than men, which, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I found this, you know, on articles and finding online. I don't know, like, the exact statistics behind it, but that was something that I found kind of interesting.
That makes sense, though, yeah. because I feel like I feel like the dream or like our subconscious tries to communicate with us in images that we understand. And I mean, sadly, in this still in this day and age, like women have to be very conscious of their surroundings at all times. And it's pounded into us basically that like you never go anywhere alone and da 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 da. So like I feel like that makes sense.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah, and then
that's interesting.
It is. Okay, and then one other one I found was flying, which is kind of almost, it's kind of like not the reverse, but almost in the same lines of the falling, because it's kind of the opposite. Like you're instead of falling, you're just kind of flying. You're up in the air. So this type of dream encourages a person to let go of current issues, allow things to fall naturally into place. Similarly, flying is a sign that there is an out of control situation in real life. So you're kind of, you know, rising above that. Examples of some other symbolism are new opportunities, confronting fears, future potential, expressing hidden talents, and a creative burst and new relationships. Wow. So it's kind of more encouragement, that's, you know, fun. To trust the universe, to conquer your fears. It's pretty positive because you're kind of...
don't keep yourself grounded all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the possibilities are up here.
They are, which I thought was really, really uplifting.
Yeah, I love flying dreams. I only have them very rarely, but they're always so fun.
Yeah, so I didn't go into in depth with these other ones, but just some of the other ones that were more common were showing up to work or school naked, test taking, meeting a celebrity partner is cheating, showing up late for something, being pregnant, and driving an out-of-control vehicle.
Dude, so those last ones, I swear to God, I've had a dream that I've showed up late to work. I can't even tell you so many times. That's definitely, like, I never really thought about, because I've definitely tried to interpret my dreams before, and my dreams are so wacky and weird. Like, sometimes it does follow these, like, people dying and me dying or flying or something like that, but usually they're very strange and don't have, like, any kind of theme in them. But it makes sense where, like, the images that we're having in our dreams aren't, it's just the surface level, like it's the symbolism beneath it that
we need to pay
attention to. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. So with that, do you want to take us to the next section?
And now we're going to move on to Emma's next section that I'm very excited about. So Emma, what is your next topic on dreams?
I will be diving right into sleep paralysis, which is kind of another... surface level. I mean, it is very terrifying. But I think when people hear that word, it's like they just automatically just think of just really terrifying experiences.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess what is it? What is sleep paralysis? It is a state during waking up or falling asleep in which a person is aware but unable to move or speak. And during an episode, one can hallucinate or may hallucinate, hear, feel, or see things that are not there, which is an oftentimes results in fear and just a really terrifying experience.
Oh, so spooky. It's basically like a waking dream.
Yeah. So these sort of episodes, they generally, I mean, obviously it can be different for a lot of people, but they generally last less than a couple of minutes. A lot of the time it feels like an eternity though, when you're actually experiencing one. And they can also be triggered by sleep deprivation, psychological stress, or abnormal sleep cycles, which I guess I didn't really even know the extent of that.
No, I didn't know any of that.
I know. It's kind of interesting to see, you know, what types of what things can trigger that. And just it kind of takes a moment. I reflect on me now thinking about, am I getting enough sleep? Am I not stressed about things? And
yeah, because you don't want to experience this.
Yeah. Because it may kind of lead to that possibly, right. And it's interesting to kind of check yourself and reflect on what are you accomplishing and how are you actually getting enough sleep during the day and or during the night and all that. But I guess for some more statistics on that, between 8% and 50% of people experience sleep paralysis at some point in their life, and 5% of those who do have regular episodes, and both males and females are affected equally. So there's no there's no greater percentage with gender. It's all pretty equal on that aspect of it or that plane. And it also, sleep paralysis has been discussed throughout history and has been linked to and believed to play a role in the creation of stories about alien abductions and other paranormal events. Which is another thing I didn't really know specifically, but I could definitely see, like, I definitely made the connection in my mind, like, that makes sense. I could see where a lot of that has stemmed from people having these episodes.
I think a lot of, not to discount anyone's stories, because I do believe in paranormal experiences, but I think a lot of paranormal experiences might actually be sleep paralysis, and the person experiencing it just didn't realize what sleep paralysis was or what was happening at the time.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely, I feel the same way. I'm a believer of, you know, these paranormal episodes and aliens, and I'm not discounting that at all, like you said, but sleep paralysis is a way for, I think, some people to sort of kind of tap into that world and maybe start to try to explain things. And like you said, a lot of people don't even know what sleep paralysis is, so it could be them just not realizing and they're going through it.
Yeah.
Which is very, another way to look at it. But then some other similar, some similar events that kind of, they're not sleep paralysis, but they're kind of along the same lines, or maybe contribute to it, are sleep terrors, mm-hmm. nocturnal panic attacks, and PTSD. So they're kind of on that similar plane as sleep paralysis, which I know I've known people that have had sleep terrors before. My sister included, she had an experience, which I'll have to maybe ask her if she can share that with us at some point, but it was quite intense.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm interested to know. That sounds like a lot.
No, it was really scary because I was the one that had to experience on the other side of observing it happen to her and be kind of involved, and it was very terrifying.
I'm sure.
But yes, so with sleep paralysis, I kind of separated into two categories, approaching how it feels. So what are you actually feeling when you experience it? I separated into physical aspects that you're feeling and also psychological, which are two major kind of key points to that as a whole. So with the physical aspects, as I mentioned before, you're unable to move or speak. So when you're experiencing this, you're literally paralyzed, or have that feeling of being paralyzed. And sometimes there are imagined sounds that are heard by people, humming, hissing, static, or buzzing. And some more kind of symptoms are pressure on the chest, sensations of being dragged out of bed or flying, which really sounds really scary.
Yeah.
Numbness, feeling electric tingles, vibrations running through the body, and difficulty breathing. So a mashup of a lot of very traumatic kind of sensations that one can feel, which just kind of ties into why this is so terrifying, because you're definitely out of control. And when you feel any of these symptoms, it's just going to heighten
and
that
it's so
fear.
Much creepier than a real dream, because you're awake.
Yeah.
Like, you
that's the thing.
See
yes.
your room. You know that you're like it. There's no sense of, oh, this is a nightmare. Oh, this isn't real. No, it's awake. You're awake. You are in the real world, but your brain is still dreaming and playing tricks on you. And it really does give you I've heard the most terrifying part is the paralysis part. I mean, you are you cannot move because your body hasn't like fully woken up yet. And I've had, my stepdad has had an experience while my stepdad and my mom were staying in a haunted hotel in New Orleans.
Oh wow, that just adds to the fact that it's in a haunted hotel. Oh my god,
I know. And like, He said it was the only time he ever experienced sleep paralysis, and he felt this massive pressure on his chest, and he felt someone sit down on the edge of the bed.
Wow.
And who knows if that was just his brain or if something was really happening. Like, it's just such a mix of crazy things going on all at the same time.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's just so many different things you can experience, and the fact that you are unable to control, like, you are, like, out of control, and you just kind of have to ride along with it and try to get through it. But that's just one. The physical is just one aspect. There's also a lot of psychological aspects that kind of can happen during an episode, which adds to even more terrifying experience. So some of those are intense emotions of fear, panic, and helplessness. People oftentimes hear voices, whispers, or roars while experiencing sleep paralysis, hallucinations of supernatural creatures suffocating or terrifying the individual, or sometimes people have seen kind of a menacing shadowy figure enter the room or lurk within the room or outside the window, which just thinking of that and just considering that No. Is very scary to think about because I couldn't even imagine. I mean, the mind is such a powerful tool. It's such a powerful thing. And just the fact that you can conjure up these images and hallucinations is, there's endless possibilities to what that would look like, depending on the person.
Well, and it's also crazy to me because it's not just like a fit. The physical side of it is terrifying. And also the mental side of it is equally terrifying because I didn't realize, well, and I didn't realize how connected they all were. And that's kind of part of the mysticism of it is that so many people experience the same things.
Exactly.
I heard so many people, and we actually talked about this with a lot of like people at school. Mm-hmm. There were multiple people who explained, who described having like an old hag that stands over their bed and watches them and gets closer and closer and closer until they wake up. And many, many people have had that exact experience. And it's like, how do so many people have a shared experience? It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's shared images and like just these creatures that, you know, are lurking around. And it just, I don't know, it just plays that terror. Yeah. And
if I can convince Andy, if I can convince my fiance, I am going to have him. We'll insert it somewhere in here. He has, or we'll put it at the end, but he had a terrifying sleep paralysis experience. And I was there and it was just terrifying for me. So we're definitely going to try to get him on to talk about it. And we'll put it somewhere in the podcast because, yeah, he experienced the whispering.
Yeah, I
he said it was like nothing he'd ever experienced before.
Yeah, I definitely want to. I definitely want to hear his story. I know you've told me a lot about it, but I think it'd be so interesting to have him on and just see how that, what he experienced. Because, I mean, I guess I can share, since mine isn't very as intense as other people's, I'll just share mine now because it's not. That's intense, but I did experience sleep paralysis. I think this was in 2018, so like a few years ago. And I have to say, now learning and like when I was researching and kind of actually learning about, you know, the symptoms and what people experience, I kind of was like drawing, you know, connections and to my experience. And I have to say, I can't even compare it to anything. It was the weirdest thing ever. And I really resonated with when I was researching the sort of the psychological aspects, the feeling of helplessness. I have never felt as helpless as I did. Like, it was scary because you're sitting there, like, you're awake, and you, like, I was thinking, like, okay, I have to move my arm. Like, you're like, I'm thinking so hard, like, move your arm, move your leg, and it will not move. And it's like, you feel so helpless, you feel out of control, and it's scary. Yeah. It's very scary.
Well, and I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine being in that state and then hallucinating that
that
a thing is coming towards me and you can't.
You can't do it. And that's
so scary.
Oh, yeah. And that, like, for me, luckily, I didn't hallucinate anything. Like, I just was in my dark room. I was at my parents' house and I just remember seeing, like, my window. Because when I wake up, my bed was positioned so I can see my window. And it almost looked kind of fuzzy. Like, it seemed like it was like a weird reality. It just, like, not that it was moving, but it was just kind of fuzzy and not normal looking at all. It's this dark window and I could like see out into the street. And just kind of there's this darkness surrounding me and then just feeling numb. Like, I actually did feel pretty numb. I think I felt a little bit of tingles like around my body. Mostly when I was trying to move things. Like, if I would like think if I had to move my leg, that's what kind of would feel the tingle. Which I think, you know, that was just my body like trying to move it as hard as it could. And it was just reaction. Wow. But yeah, I just basically sat there. I don't know how long it took, and it would just come to me where I could like start lifting fingers, and it would just like all come to me very slowly, and each body part I could move, you know, at one time or another. And then as soon as I was all better, but it was the weirdest thing ever. And I only experienced it once, so hopefully never again, but it was very scary.
That's so scary.
Yeah, so I guess that sort of hypervigilant state that is created in the midbrain is that's what contributes to the hallucinations. And many people have also sort of experienced had out-of-body experiences, which could also tie into more of those hallucinations, because I feel like if you're out of your body, you could see it from a different angle and sort of watch yourself having sleep paralysis, which could be on another level of creepy. Just
that's so much.
But yeah, so that was...
I was dead.
I know.
I would think I was dead if I was having like an out of body like sleep paralysis.
I know, right? I'd be like, what's going on?
What else would you think?
Gosh, that's so creepy. Wow. But yeah, that was just my little experience. It wasn't as intense as some, but it still had some contributing kind of emotions that went to it. Yeah.
Well, it's so scary. Yeah.
So I guess some just some other information to kind of conclude this little section. As for treatment, which I mean, obviously it's so hard to pinpoint, you know, what you can use for treatment because, you know, there's so many different experiences, so many different symptoms, but there are some medications and there's also cognitive behavior therapy, which I feel like that would honestly be, I think that would be pretty, a pretty good path to take, like to go to that cognitive behavior therapy, because it would almost kind of make you look at things differently and maybe try to work through some stuff, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then I guess kind of tying back into some of the other associations that an increased risk of sleep paralysis can be associated with insomnia, sleep deprivation, stress, physical fatigue, erratic sleep schedule. So kind of like I said before, a few of those factors, if you fall into one of those categories or if you experience any of the of those, it could contribute to having more of a high risk of getting sleep paralysis, because it all kind of ties in together and they kind of go off of one each other, of one another. And then also there was so much this last part, there was so much on like the culture, like how it has been kind of approached in different cultures. There was too much I could not get into because it would be a whole another like hour of me talking or so. And so I kind of just like on a general note, sleep paralysis is obviously universal, but it can have different associations and meanings throughout many cultures. Like there is a lot in Europe and like Egypt, Asia. There's just like all over the world, different cultures have approached it differently and have different associations, which I thought was really interesting as well. But at the base of it, it's universal. Yeah, it is a universal experience, it can be looked at differently. And also, it has played a major role in folklore and literature. Yeah. And they have kind of brought, those two have kind of brought in sleep paralysis and as a theme, and with the supernatural occurrences, like I said before, and spiritual possessions. And a few books that this article had talked about that either contributed to or had that kind of as a theme, and or the author also may have experienced in their life, were A Christmas Carol and Peter Pan, which I thought was interesting as well, because I guess I didn't really look at it that way, and how different literature has used sleep paralysis, or not necessarily exactly had it in the book, but kind of used that as a base to kind of go off of, which was pretty cool. And that also ties into this creative process and how we can kind of use these terrifying and unexplained weird moments that happen to us when we're sleeping or when we're like waking from sleep, and we can use that to channel in our writing and stuff that we create.
Yeah, I think what we're learning is that it's truly, if it's not a spirit kind of guiding you and talking you, you know, trying to communicate in these dreams, our subconscious is a powerful thing, and our subconscious is always trying to kind of communicate with the ego or the self that controls us and thinks, and we should listen to our dreams because it's our subconscious trying to communicate with us.
Oh, definitely. It's a very powerful vessel and a tool that we can use, and it's just creepy. I mean, it's very intriguing, but also creepy to know that there's so much unexplained. There are so many unexplained things that are involved with dreams and the mind that is both terrifying and exciting. So that's what I've found just from looking at different articles and just in general from over the years, what I've learned. But yeah, so that is pretty much what I found on sleep paralysis. Like I said, there's so much more to be found out there, but I just kind of brought in the base of things and to bring about kind of like a generalization of what it is and like things that that people have experienced and all that. So yeah, with that, Jordan, do you kind of want to take us to our next topic in dreams?
Yes. I am so excited to talk about this. So sleep paralysis is something I haven't experienced, which is why I wanted Emma. We kind of talked about this beforehand. We thought it made more sense for Emma to research it. And the thing that I've experienced and that I was super, super excited to talk about was lucid dreaming. Hey. Have you ever heard of lucid dreaming, Emma?
Oh, yes. I think we've talked about this a lot because I've also experienced this as well.
Yes. And it's super cool. I absolutely love it.
Well, I am so excited for you to tackle this because I, like I said, I've had it and I've talked about it and love it, but I don't know a lot about certain aspects of it. So I'm very intrigued to learn some more. So,
well, this will definitely be a more witchy, mystic dive into it because, like most things with dreams, scientists don't know what the fuck is going on with lucid dreaming and like why we do it and how, but it's very interesting.
Another unsolved mystery. Yes.
So we'll solve it for you. Here we go. I was very interested in covering this because I've experienced it. I've practiced it kind of like as a meditation practice. And if you don't know, lucid dreaming is simply when you are aware that you are dreaming. It's as simple as that. You recognize your own thoughts and emotions as the dream is happening. And some people are even able to control their dreams when they are lucid dreaming. So that's it. That's what lucid dreaming is. It's as simple as that. But it really can go into some mystic places. And for some people, this could be totally normal. I have had someone tell me, oh, yeah, I always know when I'm dreaming, which, like, really, do you? But whatever, I'll believe them. Some people tech up and say and claim that they always know they're dreaming. But for many people, lucid dreaming isn't common. And I know you said you've had lucid dreams, Emma. Mm-hmm. And, like,
yes, I have. I've had also. Yeah, moments of being able to almost control, but not like control the entirety of it, but I've just been aware of being able to control certain aspects of it.
And there's a reason for that, and we'll get into that. But yeah, it's I've definitely experienced lucid dreams before. For me, it truly comes out of nowhere. I don't know why I realize some dreams are dreams, but I do.
Yes.
And then I'm able to control them for a little bit before my brain kicks me out and wakes me up. But my lucid dreams, when I have them, are my absolute favorite. I get so excited when I realize I'm dreaming because I can start to control my dream. And the first thing I do, of course, is fly, because why wouldn't you want to fly in your dream? That's like always what I go to. I'm like, oh, I'm dreaming. I want to fly.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That'd be awesome. Yeah,
exactly. And much like everything about dreams, like I said, unfortunately, scientists don't really know why we lucid dream. They don't really know why we dream in general. They have guesses, but they don't really have any, and it's very difficult to research this because obviously people forget things, it's difficult to research something that all you're relying on is someone telling you, oh, this is what happened, versus like hard solid evidence. But what they do know is that lucid dreaming does typically occur in REM sleep when our brains are normally dreaming, though they do say that when we are lucid dreaming, more parts of the brain are active than they normally would be. And this is what gives the dreamer the ability to have consciousness throughout their dream.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess I never even thought about it that way, that, you know, that's kind of true. There's how your brain reacts and how you're able to.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they don't really know like how or why some parts of your brain would be more active and how that leads to lucid dreaming. But for me, I know my dreams are far more clear when I lucid dream, when I realize I'm lucid dreaming. So that could be something. It might be that your brain is just more active during your dream and something clicks and you go, oh, this is a dream. So that might be why we lucid dream. And this is truly where the mystic comes in, because many spiritual people and mystics believe that the dreamland we enter into, and this is so cool, that the dreamland we enter into is actually very, very close to the liminal world, or the place that we go when our spirit leaves our body at death. Yes.
Oh my God.
I know. Oh, it's so interesting. And in this sense, there are many mystics who actively practice lucid dreaming to become better at putting themselves into lucid dream states that they can control. So then they can then go and visit the liminal plane and learn things from their spirit guides.
Wow.
It's very, very cool.
Wow. My mind is just blind. I'm that emoji with like the the explosion in the head.
I know. It's very cool. I know. Mind blown.
Wow. It's like such an interesting world. Like this whole world that not a lot of, like, people don't even really know about. And it's, you know, it's very intriguing to think about what's possible.
And,
you know?
And in my research, I did find a great article on a website called stewards.edu that went on to explain stories of spiritual lucid dreaming from the history of the world's religions are plentiful. So just like we've been interested in dreaming, we have also always been interested in lucid dreaming. shamans in many indigenous cultures have guided the souls of the departed into the land of the dead in lucid dreams for untold centuries. Native Americans still rely on conscious dreamings for their vision quests. Muslim Sufi mystics have traditionally utilized lucid dreaming as a means of ecstatic union with Allah, so connecting with God. And the 20th century Christian mystic Hildegard of Bingen documented her frequent lucid dream encounters with God, who appeared to her in the form of this circle of life energy. So for centuries, people have been using lucid dreaming to connect with higher powers and whatever they believe that to be. And by far, the most sophisticated philosophy of lucid dreaming as a spiritual practice has been developed by Tibetan Bon Buddhist tradition. Like many things, Buddhist tradition is far advanced in terms of spiritual practice.
Oh, yes.
And as previously mentioned, the purpose of sacred lucid dream discipline taught by the Tibetan masters, which is related to yoga, this kind of conscious dream state, is to train the consciousness to be able to direct itself through that liminal realm that we will encounter after physical death. So it's like being able to go there before we die. And because they believe that going to sleep is like dying in the sense that it is a journey into the unknown. Which is actually very...
Ooh, I love that!
Yeah, which is, for someone like me, I'm very anxious about death and dying. It's not something, like, I don't like it. It gets me anxious. Same. I always constantly worry about people dying, especially after this year and losing my friend. Like, it's an anxiety for me. And it's much better to think about it as, like, well, you know, we're going somewhere when we dream. It's a place that we're going, even though our physical bodies are here, we are completely somewhere else. So how is that any different from death? So I thought that was very interesting. And in the Tibetan tradition, it's believed that a proficient lucid dreamer will be able to prepare to navigate his consciousness through the bardo or the state of liminality of the afterlife and into a desirable rebirth, which is so interesting. So basically, someone who has perfected spiritual lucid dreaming, according to the Tibetan masters, will be able to pass out of that liminal realm and enter into the clear light of liberation from the cycle of rebirth and enter into nirvana or whatever you believe that could be, heaven, any whatever your spiritual belief is. Basically, they can navigate through that liminal realm into whatever lies beyond. And I thought that was so beautiful and interesting.
That is really beautiful. I like how you tie into the spirituality of it. And it's dreams are, you know, it's like you said, it's very unknown and you're kind of past this unknown. But using dreams and studying it, it kind of allows us to, you know, consider, you know, what could happen. And it helps to kind of build up a knowledge of that. And so it's not just a scary kind of thing to approach. And it's more positive, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah, it definitely helps us just understand the world better and understand that, you know, this physical world is not the end all be all. There is something, there is somewhere that we go. And I actually found a different article written by a man called, or, you know, however he identifies, George Galepsy. And George's article is called Ordinary Dreams, Lucid Dreams, and Mystic Experience. And he actually talks about this experience very similar to what I was talking about with the Tibetan tradition. I'm going to read a little excerpt in this excerpt, he's talking about he's already in a dream state and he already knows he's lucid dreaming. So this is what he has to say. When I know I'm dreaming, I can act purposefully to eliminate my mental activity and dream images, the two being closely related. If I can think to do so, I can close my dreaming eyes to eliminate visual images, which produces darkness. I still need to eliminate the remaining oral and tactual images, body awareness, and the mental activity that produces the images. So basically, he's saying he's already in a dream state. He already knows he's dreaming, so he's in a lucid dream state. And then in that dream state, he's closing his eyes and going into another deeper form of meditation. And then He says, to do this, I must detach myself from the remaining ongoing dream manifestations and concentrate on the attention, concentrate his attention to darkness, which is, so to speak, before his eyes. And then he says, this is often not easy because as he's doing this, the voices start speaking to him, dogs bark, hands grab him, other manifestations disturb him. Also, like there, and he calls these disturbances entanglements. And basically, it's almost like these, something in his subconscious or something in the brain is trying to tie him to the to that dream, to almost like that physical dream. But if he can meditate enough and picture that darkness, he goes through it into this just glowing light of basically the liminal world. And it's very, very cool.
That is. Wow. I mean, what? That's super, I mean, it's so intense, but also just, you just kind of, your mind is just, my mind is constantly just like thinking about all these possibilities and how super intense and intricate this experience is, and just everything that can happen and occur during it is just, it's just mind blowing to think about.
Right. And obviously it doesn't matter what you believe. If you do want a mystic, if you do want a lucid dream, you can totally be, there are a lot of, I think in the modern world, especially as we learn more about lucid dreaming and how to do it, there are a lot of people who don't even consider themselves particularly mystic or believe in any of that, who also love the experience of controlling their dreams. And even if you don't believe anything spiritual is happening, you can still believe that this is a time for you to kind of, if you are able to lucid dream, reflect on things and learn things and be able to, I don't know, even if you don't want to have any kind of experience, it's still cool to be able to lucid dream and control your dreams. So if you are someone who would like to lucid dream but don't know how, I do have a few tips, especially as someone who does practice lucid dreaming. There are a few things I do that help me a lot. So first and foremost, you do have to get enough sleep. Like the science says, you usually do have to be in REM sleep to lucid dream. So get enough sleep. Go to bed when you're tired. If you are sitting in bed and you're not tired and you're trying to lucid dream, it's never going to happen. I promise you, I've tried. Second of all, go to sleep with the intention of remembering your dream. Your subconscious is working for you and listening to you. It knows if you want to remember your dreams. So make the intention that you do want to remember them.
Yes.
Have a little mantra when you go to bed that just says, I will remember my dream when I wake up. I will remember my dream when I wake up. Because if you do this enough times, your subconscious is going to hear you and understand, like, the second you wake up, you want to remember your dream. And going along with that, start a dream journal. Just like you said, Emma, it's so important to have a dream journal because most of us forget our dreams within like the first few minutes of waking up. So if you get in the habit of writing down your dreams, the second you wake up, you will remember them and you will, your brain will kind of just get in the habit of remembering them. For me, I just use my phone. I literally, anytime I wake up and I remember my dream, I will just get out my phone in my notes and start typing, and they're hilarious. I will read some of them later because I write them in like a half dream sleep. So sometimes they don't make any sense at all, but just the act of doing it, just the act of doing it is good. But yeah, they're hilariously, they don't make any sense.
Yep.
But another tip is, and this is my big one, get in the habit of doing something frequently and checking in with yourself. What I mean by this is habits that you have in your day-to-day are going to carry on into your dreams if you do them enough. So for me, I play with my rings on my fingers all the time. Emma knows this. I've dropped my ring at her house like a million times. I play with my rings all the time on my fingers. I play with my rings in my dreams because I do it in life so much that it carries on into my dreams. If I think of it during the day, I make a point to stop and look at my hands and really take in what my rings look like so that I start doing that in my dreams. Because the really interesting thing is, in your dreams, your personal items will not look the same as they do in real life. Every single time I look at, if I think of it and I look at my hands in my dreams, my my rings will look like they're huge or super small or like falling off my mm-hmm. finger or totally not the right shape at all. And that immediately helps me realize I'm dreaming.
That's very weird.
So that's yeah. something that can help you a lot. And even it sounds really funny, but mm-hmm. If you get in the habit of frequently pinching yourself and saying, I'm awake, or like pinching yourself and doing a little check of, am I awake? Am I awake?
Oh, wow.
Throughout the day.
Yeah.
You'll do it in your sleep and you'll realize when you're sleeping. So that's something you can do. And then other than that, it's not really a tip because you kind of have to come across it in your dreams, but clocks will also always look distorted in mm-hmm. dreams, just like your personal items. Clocks never look right in dreams for some reason. Don't know why. My psychology teacher taught me that in high school, and it's true. Yeah, if you look at a clock, like usually if I look at a clock in a yeah. dream, it looks like it's melting off the wall. It's very weird. That stuck with me yeah. because my psychology teacher taught me that, and it is true. I've only experienced it a few times because obviously like it only happens when clocks show up in my dreams, but they are always really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last tip, because it is difficult to stay in a dream when you realize you're dreaming, I think Emma, you kind of touched on this. It's very difficult mm-hmm. to stay in a lucid dream because your brain doesn't like it. You're not supposed to know you're dreaming. It likes to kick you out and wake you up like the second you realize you're dreaming. So if you feel like you're getting kind of pulled out of your dream, all you have to do is look at the ground. This is a really simple way to trick your mind into being like, I'm grounded here in my dream. This is where I am. It helps you kind of stay connected physically to your dream instead of realizing I'm laying in a bed in my room and this isn't real. And that is it for lucid dreaming.
Lucid dreaming. Well, back to kind of like the dream journal. When you said you use your phone, which I am so glad that I started this journal as well, because I would always want to start something to record my dreams, and I just kept forgetting about it. But the moment that I just
yeah.
decided to finally take the step to do it, and I just like I think I maybe was considering my phone too, but for some reason I just like writing. Like I like writing in a physical, like in a journal. It's yeah. just been so nice to like track these finally, and then I just have them forever and you can just look back. But yeah, for me, with lucid dreaming, I don't know about you, but I've been able to almost, I can kind of control like the plot of my dream. Like there's some moments where I just think about something so much in my head that I want to happen. And then like in my dreams, like those things play out.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is so weird and interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting because sometimes in my dreams I'll be like, oh, I wonder what would happen if this happened, and then yeah. it'll happen.
And then it'll
thinking
happen.
About it. And sometimes that does help me realize that I'm dreaming too.
Yeah. No, I just was so intrigued by everything. I mean, the whole topic of lucid dreaming is such a vast topic in itself, and I did not know a lot of that stuff you're talking about. I'm just so intrigued to continue to learn about more, but I'm so happy that you decided to do that section
yes.
because I think it's such a cool topic.
Me too.
Yay!
So now on to the last but most exciting part of our podcast.
Yes.
We really want our listeners to be involved in our podcast.
We
asked you guys to share your witchy unexplained dream experiences. And we
yes.
have some really cool things to talk about. And Emma did some research. I know you found some crazy dreams on the internet too, right?
Yeah. So I kind of was browsing the internet for some weird stories, weird dream
oh, yeah.
stories. And I was on BuzzFeed and Ranker, and I found some, but I think I'm going to read just a few of them because there's so many, so I don't want to take up all the time. But yeah, also, wait, on a side note, before I even begin this, I forgot to mention some of the articles I have researched from before, so let me just say
yes.
this quickly before I forget. So, yeah, so like I said before, I found BuzzFeed and Ranker were two of the websites I found for the dream stories. And then for my other research, I found some stuff on Wikipedia, 12 Common Dreams and What They Supposedly Mean from Mental Floss. I found a bunch about the dream themes on Healthline, and then an article on Dream Dictionary called All About Flying Dreams. So those were my articles that I used.
And I totally forgot to cite mine as well, so I'll put mine here. The articles I used are What Is Lucid Dreaming from Healthline.com. I used an article from Sokka at Spirit Witch. That was the excerpt from the Galepsy guy. I also use stewards.edu. That article is just called Lucid Dreaming. And then I also looked up on WebMD sleep disorders, which included lucid dreaming. So those were mine.
Love it. All right. So here's a weird one that was sent in to BuzzFeed about someone's dream. okay. So I came back home from elementary school where everyone became aliens. I saw my dad and told him what happened. He responded, "I'm not your dad," and pointed a nail sticking out from his head, which was proof of being an alien. he pointed at a nail.
Oh my God.
Which was proof of being an alien.
That's definitely some heavy symbolism.
Yeah, I was like very scared. It's very scary just knowing, like, in a dream, just like thinking it's your dad, and then all of a sudden he's like, "I'm not your dad." Like, that sounds like a horror movie.
It definitely seems like, yeah, it definitely seems like trust issues, like we're afraid of losing your dad, or like that they're gonna do something. Yeah, that's scary. That would be a really cool movie or show, though, or story.
Yes. Okay, so there were so many like kind of funny and weird ones, but I found this other, it's another kind of scary one, but it had sleep paralysis that was involved in it, so I thought it'd be kind of perfect.
Ooh.
Okay, so I had a high fever and sleep paralysis one night during the summer. I had a dream everyone was crying over a little girl. When I got closer to the little girl, she was missing half of her face. I said, "What a shame," and when the room turned gray, suddenly, I wake up and the little girl was inches from my face saying, "You did this to me." She suddenly aged about 70 years to an elderly woman and jumped on my chest. I couldn't breathe and literally felt burning.
Oh,
it was
no.
My first and last experience with sleep paralysis. But Jesus, I pray every day it never happens again.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Which is a lot to unpack, but it brings in those elements of the sleep paralysis, like the pressure on the chest and hearing and seeing things. And
that's so crazy that it, like, the same image stayed with them through their sleep paralysis.
I know.
That's so creepy.
And it was, yeah, and it was sort of like a dream. Like, she was starting off, it was a dream. So, like, it was totally a dream about her seeing this little girl and everything. And then it, like, morphed into her sleep paralysis. So she had woken up and had seen this girl transform into this creepy lady and all of the experiences came. So it was kind of like a mashup, which is different layers to it. And I didn't think that was possible, but it's very scary.
That's terrifying.
Yes. Okay, so I have one sentence for my cousin that I can read quick.
Yes.
And then we'll go on to yours. Mm-hmm. All right. So my cousin sent me this, which she's had many strange dreams that we've talked about a lot in like this year. So we're kind of trying to pick one that was perfect. So she sent me one that we both agree that was probably the best, most entertaining, and also very creepy dream that she had. So this is her dream. The dream started with me seeing from a ghost-like perspective the inside of two different vehicles that were crashing into each other at super speed or super high speeds on the highway in Seattle by the Space Needle. And she wanted to point out that she somehow knew that the accident was because of drunk driving, and she could literally see the accident happening, like, from the inside. She could see the people getting crushed and torn apart, and, like, the cars just colliding and, like, head up, which is so creepy and very terrifying and scary.
Yeah.
To be experiencing that. But so she saw them die immediately, and she saw both vehicles just crashing. It was really gory. And then all of a sudden, she was herself and was running in the middle of the night on the sides of some insane indoor highway that looped up until it got to the top of the Seattle Space Needle. And someone who was chasing her, so this is a chasing dream, and wanted to kill her.
Wow.
In desperation, she broke one of the windows at the top of the Space Needle and went in. And inside the top of the Space Needle was an alien museum with tons of exhibits. And she remembers feeling super nervous and unsettled because she was hiding behind some of the exhibits to get away from whoever was chasing her. And she never found out who was chasing her or if she got caught. It just kind of ended there. That's like the whole plot of like an action sci-fi.
Yeah.
which I thought was interesting. And now I want to visit the Space Needle because I am convinced there's an alien exhibit that they have there.
I would love to know if there's we have to break the glass at the Space Needle and see if there's a secret alien exhibit behind the glass. That's amazing.
But yeah, that was a very Very weird dream, but those are mine.
Ooh, I loved those. I'm so excited to like do more stories from online because I think they're so interesting.
Yes, but do you wanna share some of yours?
Yes. So actually, both of the stories that I have, or actually, it'll be three if I can get Andy to record with me. But the two stories that I prepared for today are actually related because they're like premonition dreams, which Ooh. We didn't really get to cover in this episode. But it's something super wisty. I combined witchy and mystic.
Yes,
they are super like mystic and unexplained and very interesting. So one is from, I'm gonna give her a plug because she's so sweet and amazing. One is from Direct X Divination on Instagram, so please go follow her. She's so amazing. She supports our podcast. Again, it's at Direct X Divination. She sent us a message and she said that in her dream, she was sitting beside her cousin who put his head on her shoulder. Instinctively, she knew that he was doing this because something was wrong and she felt a feeling of dread. When she woke up, she still had that feeling of dread and she consulted her tarot cards because she's a reader. Ooh. And her tarot cards told her that news would be coming soon about something drastic, but she didn't know what. 2 weeks later, her cousin had been hospitalized with a severe bout of diverticulitis. Oh, gosh, I can't. Okay, wait. Oh, diverticulitis. Okay. Her 2 weeks later, her cousin that was in the dream had been diagnosed and hospitalized with a severe bout of diverticulitis. Basically a lot of inflammation and an infection in the colon. And this went on to be a chronic issue that still affects him to this day. He is okay for the listeners. But to this day, she is still unsure as to why she had the dream because her cousin lived halfway across the world and she couldn't help him whether, you know, she had had the dream or not. And to this day, she takes it as a sign of strong intuition. And she said this was just one instance in her six-year journey to becoming a tarot reader. And she just recently started her Instagram so she could share that. So I thought that was so interesting of having a premonition that her cousin needed help and was sick.
That is really interesting. And I just am so intrigued also by how premonition can play a role in dreams. And it's kind of ominous and it's very scary, but I guess it can also be a positive thing if it like helps you kind of.
And I don't want to give it away, but I'll tell you just so you can react to it because I'm going to basically my mom can't be on the podcast for this recording, but I am going to go to her house and record her stories. She's had multiple dream instances that are really creepy, but she actually had a premonition that someone at her work had passed away and they did. So I'm going to be talking. Ooh. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yeah. I cannot wait to hear those stories. And
I know. I'm so excited to talk to her.
Thank you to your mom for sharing them.
All right, so I'm here with my mom. Do you want to say hello to everyone?
Hello to everyone.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Jenny, and no, I don't know what to say.
That's okay. So my lovely mother is here. She has had a lot of mystic things happen to her in her life. Ooh. So she'll probably be on along with my grandma because grandma has seen even more stories. I think we could do a whole episode on my grandma's stories.
She's the best spooky storyteller.
Yes. But my mother also has some pretty cool dreams. So first of all, you told me this when I was little and I've always been so interested in it. So you had kind of a premonition experience, right?
Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of them.
Okay, tell me about your kind of like dream work premonition.
The creepiest one was when I was in college. I worked for facilities management office, which was right on campus. And I worked early in the morning. I think it was about 7:30. I got up, got ready for work. I felt fine. I walked into work. And as soon as I walked into the office, I got violently sick. And felt like I was just gonna throw up. So I said, oh my God, I'm sick. I have to go home and go to bed. Went to bed and dreamed that my coworker, Alice, who was 42 at the time, I dreamed that she died. And then I got a call that woke me up from my nap from another coworker, and she said, "Oh my God, Jenny, Alice died." And I said, "I know." And she said, "What?" And I'm like, "What?"
That's a little suspicious.
I mean, she woke me up and I was in the dream, and I felt like I just felt in my head like I knew 100% already that she was dead. And what I didn't know is when I went into the office that morning, Alice had not shown up yet, and nobody told me.
In and felt really horrible, she was already, like, not there. She was already late.
Yes, but I didn't know that.
That's crazy. How did she die? Do you know how she died?
She was getting ready for work, and she had a brain aneurysm that morning.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
It was terrible.
That's crazy, though.
She was
though.
Young. Nobody expected it.
Wow, that's crazy. And then I know you had, and like, did anything happen after that, or it was literally just that one dream? And then
there have been a few things like that throughout my life. I don't remember most of them because you know you chalk them up to coincidence and you don't really pay attention. I started paying attention after that.
And I know you have another experience that wasn't really a premonition, but it was with you and your mom, obviously my grandma. Mm-hmm. So what happens in that dream?
So my mom was in the hospital after having very serious surgery, and we were all worried about her. And it was, I think, right after her surgery or a day later. She's still in the hospital, and I was woken up at 3:20 in the morning with her. It sounded like she was standing next to my bed and said, "Jenny," in my ear. And it was as clear as day, and I knew it was her. I woke up, and I got really scared that something had happened to her. And my husband talked me out of calling the hospital because he's like, "If you call and check on her, they're going to go wake her up, and she really needs her sleep. They'll call you if anything's wrong." But I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. And then went to see her in the morning and said, and she was fine. I mean, you know, recovering. I said, "Mom, what were you doing at 3:20 in the morning last night, or, you know, this morning?" And she said, "Oh, I woke up because I heard you calling my name." And she said, "I looked at the clock and it was 3:20. So that's how I know exactly what I was doing."
That's crazy. So at 3:20, both of you woke up to each other calling each other.
Yep.
And that's not the first time that's happened to Grandma, because she's heard what maybe was her husband calling her while he was off to sea in the Navy.
Yep.
That's great. And what do you think? Do you think it was just you guys were both thinking about each other, or something happened?
We must have been thinking about each other, and we both have had so many weird things happen in our lives, mystical things, you know, seeing things and being attuned to ghosts and things. I just feel like we're both very open, and I don't know. I don't know the logical explanation for it.
Yeah.
It's cool and it's creepy as hell.
Well, Emma's going to be very excited to hear these, and we're really excited to have them in the podcast. So thank you for being on. I'm sure you'll be on in the future to talk about all your other scary stuff, too.
You're welcome. That didn't hurt at all.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, to Emma's cousin, to my mom, to the girl that messaged us on Instagram. Thank you so much for letting us tell your stories. They were very cool to hear about and listen to. We'll definitely be doing more partnerships with people who do tarot readings and cool mystic stuff in the future.
And yeah, we were really looking forward to collabing. But yeah, like everyone said, just thank you to everyone who shared their stories.
Thank you to all our sources.
Yes, all the sources and all the information we found. And thank you to you, Jordan, for giving this journey. And
thank you, Emma. I love you, girl.
Yes, love you too. I'm so excited for our upcoming episodes. And it's been an honor, again, just, I don't know, learning together. And it's been amazing.
It has been so fun. And we do, as always, want to end the episode with a little sneak peek as to what our next episode will be next week.
Yeah. So Jordan.
Yeah. If you haven't picked up on it already, we're going to be switching off on, I'll pick a topic, Emma will pick a topic, and we'll kind of go off of that. So Emma did dreams this week, and we are going to be doing past life regression and reincarnation next week, which I'm so excited about.
I cannot wait. That's a topic that has been in the forefront of my mind for a while now. Right. So,
and just like this topic, if you have any experiences with past life regression, or some people do past life regression therapy to kind of uncover things that have happened to them in their life and work through things. So if you have any experiences with that, or you've ever had a dream about a past life or anything, please go on our Instagram at @VitchesBrewPod2Vs yes. and share your experiences. We would love to hear from you. We can't wait to bring you our next week's episode.
Yeah, please do. And please subscribe and like, and so it helps us continue this journey and bring you more content. And we would love to have some great conversations with all of you. So our socials are always linked, and we will, you know, keep you updated and everything. But we cannot wait.
We can't wait. And thank you so much for being yes, here and you. Listening. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
See you next week. Bye.